Those who do what they need to do when they need to do it can do what they want to do later. Those who do what they want to do now have to do what other folk tell them later.
For 5728, The Chef in the End, Part 2.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. And today we're on part 2 of a message called The Chef in the End. And our main verse was from Isaiah 46:10, which says, declaring the end from the beginning. And the whole premise dealing with this verse, God knows the end from the beginning, and we as his people need to start thinking more about the end, not death, but the result, the final fruit of our actions today, because every action today has a consequence tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. And I went through in the first message how the rich think long term, the very poor think short term. And we have to start thinking in the long term. And the CHEF is an acronym for the four major areas of life: children, health, eternity, and finances. And those are the things. Children, they represent the fruit. They represent our relationships. And I went through that in the last message. So you can go to brothersoftheword.com, listen to the first message, get the background. But today deals with the letter H, and it deals with our health. And we will have a question and answer session immediately after service today. And if you have a question that you want to ask, simply email your question to answers@airjesus.com. Answers@airjesus.com. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, and this is a verse we've heard so many times before, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, we've taken that verse so often to mean, you know, brother, I wish you had plenty of money, because we look at the word prosper and we immediately always think of money. But let me read it to you in the NIV version. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. So basically what the Bible was saying is, look, I hope that everything is going well with you and that you are healthy. Health makes a huge difference in your life. Let no one fool you about that. When you feel good, life just is good. One of the things, I stand up every Sunday, I holler about how good I'm feeling. I really am feeling good, and it makes a difference. It makes a difference when your vision is clear, your hearing is clear, your step is strong. You just got energy in your body. It just makes a difference. And when I got up this morning, got up, did my prayer early this morning, I went and ran my 5K. When I finished my run this morning and I got back in the room, I was just vibrating with energy. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, I just had to start doing some more workout. I had so much energy, I just had to do something with it. I normally, after a run, you know, you want to rest. And I couldn't understand why I had so much energy. It was abnormal to have that much energy after a 3-plus-mile run. Normally, you're a little bit drained after the run. And then I understood. He said, after every one of these messages, I want you to anoint the people for the particular thing that you're talking about. So today, we anoint for health. And look like God just gave me an extra boost of energy this morning, because some of y'all may need it. And then he spoke. He said, I want you to wear some new shoes. So today, now, you're looking at these shoes and said, Pastor, these look like the same shoes you always wear. And they are the same model. They're the same brand, because I got 6 pairs of these. And I have my shoes lined up. I have 4 pairs that I rotate. It's the same look. It's the same brand. Because I don't waste time in the morning trying to figure out which pair of shoes I'm going to wear. You notice Steve Jobs always wore the same thing. And a lot of the great thinkers, those who have a lot to do in life, they minimize what they call trivial decisions they have to make every day. So I don't sit there looking at 1,000 pairs of shoes, wondering which pair of shoes I'm going to wear. I rotate them. But today I had a fresh, brand new pair of shoes still in the wrapper, still in the box. I opened up. So these are brand new shoes, even if they don't look brand new to you. And I believe today God is going to inspire some people to walk in some different steps, because it is simply a principle. If you want something different, you got to do something different. The definition of a fool is a person who keeps doing the same thing, expecting different results. If you want something different, you have to do something different. You've got to walk in some new shoes, and you got to take some new steps if you want to get some new stuff in your life. Now, first of all, I don't know whether you want new stuff in your life. There may be some of you who are saying to yourselves right now, Pastor, all my stuff is together. I feel good. I got plenty of money in the bank. I'm looking good. All my spouse is doing good. My spouse just loving on me so much I can't hardly stand it. So, Pastor, I don't want anything different. This ain't for you. If everything in your life is going right and you don't need any, and there are some who are like that. There are very few areas in my life, to be honest about it, I want to change. I'm doing pretty good, to be perfectly. I'm really, really pleased in life. But I want to keep growing, and to even maintain where I am, I got to do more because I'm getting older. So there are some things, if you're content with life and if you want no improvement, to be honest, this message is not for you. If your health is excellent, this message is not for you. This is for the other folk. And do you know there are some other folk? Let me explain some things to you about life. There are generally three levels of almost any area you look at. There are always three levels. We call it simply poor, middle, and rich. You can look at any area in life, and there are those three levels, or somewhere on a graduated scale of those three levels. I don't care what you look at. Now, most of the time we relate stuff to money, but it applies to everything. There's poor, there's middle, which the bulk of the folk are usually in, and there's rich, where there's a small sliver of folk on that upper end. I don't care if you're looking at spirit. If you're looking at spirit and you're looking at just joy. You remember when the prophet was here a few weeks ago, he touched my stomach and knocked him back. He said, man, I have never touched anybody in my life filled with as much joy as you have. I'm happy. So when I get up here and holler about, I'm not jiving you. I really do feel good. I got joy on the upper end. I don't want anything to do with the middle, and I sure don't want anything to do with the low end. I ain't ashamed to tell you, because heaven is on the upper end. And it's only going to be a remnant who get that. Jesus told you that. Wide is the path that leadeth unto destruction, and many thereof shall enter. But narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that enter unto. Heaven is like that. Most of the folk not going to be there. I don't want anything to do with the middle or the low end. But if I don't want anything to do with the middle or the low end, I cannot do what everybody else does. If I do what everybody else does, I will get what everybody else gets. So if you want your health, and health is the same three levels. There are three levels of health. And this is how I divide them three levels up. There's the messed up. I don't even have to fully describe what that means. That's the messed up. There is the medicated. And there is the magnificent. There's the messed up. There's the medicated. And there is the magnificent. Now, we're in church. We're people of God and of Christ. We ought to all be magnificent, but that ain't the case. Let me explain some stats to you. In the year 1900, the average lifespan in the United States was 47 years old. 47. People a lot of times think about the old days, folk were living in 1900. No, no, no. In 1900, the average lifespan was 47 years old. I did not even believe the stat. I knew it, but I just didn't believe it until I was in Callaway Gardens. I was back on a biking trail, and they had a big genealogical chart of their whole family tree going way back. So I started looking at the grandpa, the great-grandpa, the great-great-grandpa, all the way back, and I started calculating how long them folk lived. It was right at 50 years. There was a few who made it to 70, but 80% of them, they was dead by 50. I said, wow, that stat really is true. So at the turn of the century, in 1900, the average American lived to 47 years old. Let me pose another question to you. Do you think they were more religious than we are now in 1900? Do you think more people went to church? Do you think they had prayer in school? Do you think more people were dependent upon and recognized God in 1900 than they do now? What do you think? Yes, of course they did. The vast majority of Americans were in church every Sunday in 1900. So the people were more religious, but they died quicker. They died quicker. And they were not even getting to the promise of 70 or by reason of strength 80 in 1900. So what's the difference? Because they were more religious in 1900 than they are now. So what's the difference? The difference, two major things. And this is all just dealing with fact. I'm a highly filled with faith man, but I'm a fact man too. Because generally them facts line up with stuff when you really look at the truth. What's the difference? The difference is medical science and public sanitation. Back in that day, most of the people died from infectious diseases. You caught pneumonia, polio. You died from infectious disease. Now you're dying from lifestyle diseases. So it has changed tremendously, and medical science has made the difference. Back then, if you had high blood pressure, there was no high blood pressure medicine. You died. If you got diabetes or what they call sugar, there was no insulin treatment. You died. If you got kidney failure, there was no dialysis. You died. And if you think about how many folk do you know who have diabetes, who have high blood pressure, right now, if they didn't have those prescription medicines, they'd be dead at 47. So you can see how medical science has made a tremendous difference in our lifestyle. But right now, today, roughly 70% of all Americans are on prescription drugs. 70%. That's why I said there's the messed up and there's the medicated. And then there's the magnificent. Roughly 2 out of 3 folk are on prescription drugs, and half of all folk are on 2 or more. 1 out of 5 takes 5 or more prescription drugs every single day. So we're medicated to no end. That's why we're living longer. But the problem is, with a medicated existence, you live longer, but you don't have the quality of life. Because the medicine and the 3 biggest categories of medicine, the prescription drugs that are sold right now, 1, antibiotics, which means you're treating some kind of infection, some kind of germ infestation of your body. You're treating a plague in the Old Testament vernacular. 2, antidepressants. We depressed. The joy is gone. In this society, stuff has got us to the point where our minds and our spirits has no joy of Christ in it. And we got to take drugs to keep ourselves up. 2, antidepressants. 3, opiates. The opiates are used for painkillers because we in pain. So a huge percent, the largest percent, roughly 2 out of 3 Americans are medicated. Now, it's better to be medicated than dedicated. You understand? So I'm going to tell you right now, don't you come off your medicine because you're listening to Pastor. No. Pastor Nathaniel said 2 out of 3 Americans on prescription drugs. I'm going to stop taking. No, you don't stop taking your medicine. You'll be dead. Don't you stop taking your medicine. So you continue to take your medicine until your doctor tells you your symptoms have now disappeared, you have changed your lifestyle, and now you can come off of your medicine. Don't you come off of your medicine without your doctor telling you to come off your medicine. But we're messed up, we're medicated, and there are a few of us who are magnificent. And I want to live in the magnificent arena. I don't want to be medicated. I don't want to be with a whole bunch of infection in my body. I don't want depression in my mind, and I don't want pain. I want to live on the magnificent end, and it can be done. That's why I got on this shirt, which says, I will live fully and vibrantly until the last 10 seconds, 116 years. That's my declaration. That's my claim. But people, it's not going to come by me talking about it. I got to do some stuff. It's not going to come by me confessing it with faith, because I know a lot of folk confess a whole lot of stuff, ain't got a bit of it. And they don't have a bit of it because they don't do what is necessary. Faith without works is dead. And folk who have faith without the work, dead. So if you don't do what you should do, you will not have the health in your body or any other area of your life that you need. So I want to take us to the magnificent. And people, it's something to live in the magnificent realm. It's just something to wake up in the morning and you full of energy. Isn't that hurting? You have an expectation of joy. You see the beauty in everything. Your eyes are clear. Your mind is clear. Your spirit is clear. Every breath you take in, it just feels like a refreshing invigorating. It's something to live in the magnificent realm. And that's the way it's supposed to be for the people of Christ. Do you know the word salvation and the word healing is the same thing? Well, if we got salvation, how come we sick? And not only are we sick, we sicker. So there's something seriously wrong with the disconnect with what Christians are supposed to have and what we actually do have. So I want us to move to the arena of where we move away from the messed up, to where we move away from the medicated, and to where we move to the magnificent. And some of this stuff, people, there is no quick fix, and there is no magic cure, and there is no touch. And I believe in divine healing, but I would rather you not have to depend on that. Because I'm just going to be honest with you. You all know I am honest with you, don't you? You do know that. Now, I'm not very politically correct, and I'll be honest with you. Some of this stuff today I'm going to say is not politically correct. I'm going to ask your forgiveness before I say it. Because some of the stuff is not politically correct. But in order for us to move to where we need to be, we got to do some stuff different. There is no quick magic fix. Even when you look at the Bible, Jesus healed a lot of folk. But did you know every one of them cases that he healed, them folk had suffered a long time? I just got through with a series called Pool Party, dealing with the man of Bethesda who laid at that pool for 38 years. Jesus came in and he healed the man, but he also left five porches of sick folk who didn't get healed. The lady with the issue of blood, they've been 12 years with the issue of blood. All these long years that folks suffered. It's good to have a good healing testimony, but it's better to have a stayed well testimony. And that's what I want you to have. I went through last year. All of you know about it. I had a scooter crash over in Greece. I was in the hospital for 2 days. My spirit was just great, but I'd rather not repeat that. I'd rather not have to go through that. I did not like it when I couldn't eat. I did not like it when I couldn't walk. And I did not like it when I couldn't pee. Pastor, you don't have to use that word. Y'all use it at home. Don't be looking at me like, yeah. And you know and you understand. So I didn't like it at all. That stuff mess you up. And sometimes when you get on that messed up end, you can't have eat because your gut messed up. You can't have walk because your joints messed up. And all the stuff in the middle. You can't have do. Let me talk to the men for a second. I told you this is not going to be politically correct, but you know it's going to be true. Just a minute, ladies, don't listen to this. Ladies, turn around to another lady and say, don't listen to this. This is just for the men. Don't listen to this. Men, let me tell you, the number one killer in the United States is cardiovascular disease. The precursor of what urologists call the canary in the mine. A canary in the mine is a statement used when the mining community, they would put canaries in the mine because canaries were very sensitive to carbon monoxide. So when the canary died, the miners would know it's time to get out of the mine. There's some gas in the air that we can't smell, but the canary is sensitive to it. So the canary, when it died, it lets you know something wrong, something in the air, get out of there. Urologists say that the first sign with a man of cardiovascular disease is erectile dysfunction. Because long before the major arteries of the heart have clogged, the micro arteries inside the male genitalia have clogged long before that. And the problem is when that goes to happening, the man can no longer get and keep it up. Do y'all understand that? So, see, sometimes you got to relate to a man on stuff that's important to him. That's important to most men. So it's not just a matter of your lifespan. It's a matter of the quality of your life. And it does make a difference. If you got diabetes, chances are that stuff going to ruin your sex life. It's going to mess you up. It just is. So this is the thing, even with me, none of this is not politically correct. You're not going to hear most preachers talking about this, but they'll talk about it in the back room. They won't tell the congregation. Years ago, my closest friend, other than James, died. When I went to college with, he was 52 years old. I talked with him every single day. And even he and his wife and my wife and I, we had gone on a vacation together in Asheville. We rented a condo together on January 1st. We were there that year, and his wife prepared breakfast for us. And I told my wife then, after I ate that breakfast, I said, "Sweetheart, if I eat like this every day, I'd be dead in 6 months." The breakfast was good. I mean, that breakfast was good. But it was so greasy. The bread was greasy. The eggs was greasy. The pancake, it was just covered in so much butter. But it was good. I got me, it was good. You tell me a lot about it. It was good. But by the time I ate that breakfast, my skin was breaking out, greased up, bumped up. I told my baby, "Sweetheart, if I eat like this in 6 months, I'd be dead." In 5 months, 1 week, my friend was dead. 5 months and 1 week, he was dead. And I look back and it hurt me so much. I still miss him to this day because I talked with him every day, but I saw what was happening in his body. I saw his food. I commented to his wife, but I didn't want to offend anybody. And I didn't tell his wife, "You ought not to be feeding." And it just devastated. She's still not right to this day. And that thing has been 8 years ago. Still not right to this day because she loved him so much. And see, sometimes people, those we love, we feed them heavy, thinking that's love. That's why I told y'all, don't bring me any sweets. Don't bring me no cakes. Don't bring me any pies. Don't bring me any sweets because it kills me. I know you do it out of love. And some of you are doing your children or your spouse the same way. And it kills them. And she has been in such a wreck. She's never gotten over the loss of her husband because she loved him so much and he was a good man. But good don't stop bad habits. And it will not stop bad habits from killing you. So I plead with you. Do the right thing. And with me and the thing that I saw, and I told his cousin about 2 weeks before he had the fatal attack. I said, "I'm worried about him because his stomach real big." And see, you can tell, especially with a man, your overall health by just pushing the button. All you got to do is push the button right here. You push this belly button. If you push way, 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 all you got to do is push the button. "Pastor, you ought not to say that." I would rather say it, and I wish I had said it to him. I would rather say it than come visit you in the hospital or preach your eulogy. I would rather say it now. And especially abdominal fat is one of the, do you know 50 million people will die worldwide this year from being overweight? 50 million folk. And we look at some of the stuff we were just raising the high heaven about a few folk dying with this and dying with that. 50 million folk worldwide are going to die this year from being overweight. It's the same percentage almost of the people who are on prescription drugs. It's roughly 2 out of 3 people on prescription drugs. It's 2 out of 3 folk overweight. They are correlated. And when your belly comes out here, everything else shrinks. Now, I don't have to explain that to those of you who understand that. And I can tell you right now, if you a man and you walk up some steps and you get up them steps and you... I can tell you right now, your wife ain't getting a bit of satisfaction. That is not politically correct, Pastor. I know. I know it's not politically correct. But it's absolutely real. And it makes a difference. Suzanne's father is 82 years old. And Suzanne was telling me she lost her mother. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago that your mother passed away. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, Suzanne's mother passed away. Her daddy remarried. Now, he's 82. The woman that he married is in her 40s. So when Suzanne was telling me about it, she said, "Yeah, Pastor, he remarried, and the woman he married is in her 40s. I said, "Whoa." So the question came up, did she marry him for his money? So I asked, I said, "Suzanne, did she marry him for his money?" Suzanne said, "No, she got way more money than he has." She said, "But they do have a problem in the bedroom." I said, "Well, that figures he's 82. She in the 40s. Yeah, I'd assume they got a problem in the bedroom." She said, no, it ain't that way. It ain't that way. She said, "He wants it every night, and she can't put out about 3 times a week. That's the problem."
I said, what? I said, this man 82 years old, and he wanted every night, and she can't put up about three times. I said, what? And I told Suzanne, I said, I want to meet your daddy. I did. I said, I want to meet your daddy. So she, about 6 months later, he was coming through Atlanta. I said, Suzanne, I want to meet your daddy. So he came out to the office, and I met him. And when I met him, first of all, you could look at him. He did not look 82. He was just as in shape, just as slender, just as vibrant. You can feel the energy that the man had. And she said, they're getting ready to go on a cross-country trip. They're getting ready to drive on a 3,000-mile cross-country trip, and he doing all the driving. I said, good. See, that is the magnificent level. See, sometimes all we know and all we aspire to is the messed up and the medicated level. There's a magnificent level, but you will not get to the magnificent level doing what everybody else is doing. You got to do something different if you want to get to that magnificent level. And see, it's similar to the promised land. Three levels. There was slavery, there was the wilderness, there was the promised land. In slavery, they had to do what everybody else told them to do. In the wilderness, they could only eat what God gave them to eat. So both in slavery and the wilderness, they were supposed to just follow what God told them to do. They couldn't eat anything but the manna that fell from earth. But when they only ate what God gave them, it's the only time in the Bible where it says there was no sickness among them. The only time. The only time. Didn't need any miraculous healing because there was no sickness, but they only ate and they only could eat. As a matter of fact, they start grumbling about that. They start, we want some pheasant and some meat and some stuff like we had in Egypt when they had sickness among them. And God sent it, and he said he killed them while the meat was still in the teeth. When they went to the promised land, God told them this. He said, you go and take it. You go and take the promised land. I'll be with you. But you go and take it. If you want magnificent, God ain't going to just give it to you. You got to go and take it. There's a part that you will have to do if you want magnificent. Now, if you don't want magnificent, and a lot of people don't want it because they're not willing to do what it requires to get it. And this is a principle. Those who do what they need to do when they need to do it can do what they want to do later. Those who do what they want to do now have to do what other folk tell them later. And they shift from sometimes being in a promised land to going to slavery, whereas those who have it late, they do what they need to do now. They look in the end. See, if you want vibrant health when you get into the older years, see, when you're young, you're living off of stored resources. In the 20s, you can almost do close to anything and still feel okay. But that stuff is catching up. And that age is getting younger and younger and younger. My wife told me about a relative of hers. She said her aunt, her son died of a massive heart attack. And he was 21 years old. So it's getting younger and younger and younger and younger. But we've got to learn, if we want magnificent, we cannot do what everybody else does. We have to have a chance. We can't eat what everybody else eats. A lady went to the doctor and she said, doctor, I want to try these weight loss patches. And she said, I want your opinion on these weight loss patches. And the advertising said, all you have to do is just stick it on and wait to just start dropping off you like man. And I want your opinion, will these weight loss patches work? If I just stick it on, will the weight just drop off me? Will it work? Doctor said, yeah, it'll work. He said, absolutely, those weight loss patches will absolutely work, but you got to stick it on your mouth. And you see, we've got to have some self-control. And it's one thing when we did the 40-day miracle and I preached that sermon, and it was not politically correct either, but it's gotten some of the most comments when I'm out. I said, Pastor, I watched that sermon you did on gluttony. It's called gluttony, the one sin you cannot hide. You can hide all them other sins. You can't hide gluttony. You can't make any excuse when you push the button. You can't hide gluttony. It's there just as plain as it can be. And you eating something and a whole lot of it. And this stuff makes a difference in our health, our vitality. We can't have move. It messes up our mobility. It messes up our energy. And it shortens our lifespan. You don't know anybody real old who real big. All of the old folk are slender. So if I want to make it to 116,
I understand some things. I know what I have to do, what I have to look like, and I don't want to just make it to 116. I want to live fully and vibrantly up until the last 10 seconds. But to do that, we have to have a different set of mentality, and we have to have a different set of actions if we want to get something different from what everybody else is getting. Now, there are a lot of things that make up the difference. One thing that God did tell me today to start doing in the church, and Suzanne, I've talked about you a lot today. This is actually your area of expertise. This is what he said. He said, you shall sell green smoothies after church every Sunday. So we're going to start, but this is the point. They're $10 a smoothie. $10 a smoothie. I know, that's a lot of money for a smoothie. Yes, it is. It's not going to be $9.95 or $9.99. You're $10. And the thing about it, Suzanne, she's a smoothie master. She makes them every day at the office. She's become a master of the green smoothie. And by the time you add up the cost, I'm not talking about going to one of the smoothie places, because a lot of that is sugar, is frozen stuff, is ice and water. When you put the real stuff in there, it costs about $10 to make it. So we're going to start selling green smoothies. Now, what I want a set of volunteers who are willing to work and to rotate in the smoothie bar, but I want new folk. Because one of the other things about health is this. When you volunteer, it expands and increases your lifespan. It really does. When you volunteer to help others, it's one level to write a check and give money, but there's another whole level just to physically get involved and to help people. It just makes a difference. Brother Cody, who is the usher, and when I would come in on the front steps, and he would greet me with this smile, and he'd always stick his hand out and pull me up, and he's 60. And he looks like he's 40. See, there's something about volunteering that helps your whole spirit. So the people who get the green smoothie, it's going to bless them. But the people who make the green smoothie, and this is the part that we don't understand a lot of times. See, the American mentality has us so geared to always getting, whereas the divine mentality gears you to giving. So when you volunteer, so you're not going to get paid. I don't want anybody getting paid who got a thing to do with making a smoothie. It's all volunteer, because this is a part of your health. And volunteering and giving your time and your energy and your smile. So number one, I don't want anybody getting paid for making a smoothie, and I don't want anybody who's not in covenant with their money, because I don't want their spirit going in the juice, because it's green. So I don't want anybody who's not in covenant with their money going into the green juice. And Pastor, you said, that ain't even politically correct. Yeah, it's divinely correct, though. And I've seen that stuff. I've just seen it. I don't want the anointing going in that juice at all. So those are the two criteria. No pay of any kind except that which comes from above. And you check those giving records. So at least when you go up and you see somebody working on the juice line, you know they in covenant with their tithe. And you know you're getting right money stuff, you're getting right spirit, and it's going to help both ends. And it's what God said to do. So I've learned that following his direction, it has blessings untold. And people, if you want specific health knowledge, all you have to do is go to the website, brothersoftheword.com, click on sermon search, and just type health in it. It will bring up sermons that deal with specific health knowledge that'll cover some of everything. I've done series on it. See, Elijah has done it. James, we've got so much stuff on health. And I didn't get into anything really specific, but to try to get you into the mentality that your body is your most important material possession. And I want to move you from the messed up and the medicated to the magnificent. But I can't do it. I can only instruct you. You have to make up your mind that you're going to take this walk yourself. You got to put on you some new shoes. And if you don't walk in new shoes and take some new steps, not only will you keep getting what you've been getting, it's going to get worse because you're getting older. See, I cannot do at 60 what I did at 26. I can't do that. I got to do more because the natural force of nature is tougher on my body at 60 than it was at 26. At 26, I could not work out for months and it'd make no difference. Right now, I missed 2 weeks and it's just like, whoa, whoa. I don't lie about it. I feel phenomenal. I'm in great shape, but I'm 60. That is senior citizen category by every definition. But I can outdo most men 20. So even though age is there and it's real, you got to do more. And God has instructed me. Every decade, I have to increase my daily exercise. When I was in the 40s, I only had to run 7 miles a week. That was the whole thing. It took me maximum 70 minutes. I could finish my whole week's exercise in 70 minutes. When I hit 50s, I had to do 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week. In the 60s, I had to do 40 minutes, 70, 50 minutes, 80, 1 hour. So when I hit 80, I got to work out 1 hour a day, 6 days a week. At 90, it's 1 hour and 10 minutes. At 100, it's 1 hour, 20 minutes a day. So I cannot do at 100 what I can do at 60 and maintain magnificence. I got to do more because the force of nature and gravity is working against me. And you the same way. You can't do what you did at 30 if you 60. It's the same. You the same way. It's stuff drooping and dropping and wrinkling. You understand what I mean? Falling down and falling out. You can't do what you used to do. You got to do more if you want to stay in the magnificent. If you want to stay in the messed up or the medicated realm, that's a different story. But if you want to move to magnificence, you got to do beyond what everybody else around you does. So I admonish you to go back and type in that word health. Just pick you three sermons. You get a whole list of them. Just pick you three sermons and go back and listen to those three sermons. Pick three and go listen. That's going to give you some specific things that will help you. And see, you need to constantly be refreshed and to hear. I constantly read about all kinds of subjects. I keep learning. Even though I may know a lot, I keep learning. If you don't grow, you start to decay. Simple as that. And that's true with physical, mental, spiritual, financial, everything. Relationship is true with everything. So people, I don't want to come visit you in the hospital. Because I'll be honest with you, and I've told you this before, and most preachers won't tell you this. I can't get you out of there. I'm just going to be honest about it. I have never been in a case where I've gone to the hospital and prayed over anybody, and they left with me. So I'm telling you, I can't get you out of there. And to be honest, and I have gone to Kenneth Hagin's big healing crusade because I wanted to see a miracle. Didn't see not one. See Elijah and James and I, we went to Benny Hinn's crusade. We flew up to Texas just to go to that healing crusade because I wanted to see a miracle. Didn't see a one. So I went to the two biggest nationally known faith healers in the country and didn't see the first miracle. Everybody who rolled in a wheelchair rolled out in a wheelchair. And I do believe in divine healing now. I do. I absolutely do. But because my track record and everybody else that I know, track record is just not the best. I'm going to plead with you to not get in that shape. Because when you get messed up, even though medical science, they make phenomenal advances, a lot of that time you still ain't ever right after all that stuff. So you need to stay out, stay healthy. It's not as a phenomenal testimony, but it's a better testimony. I want to stand up and be telling you at 90 years old, I have not been in the hospital but one time, and that was because I didn't have on a helmet and did that scooter crash. I want to be able to tell you that at 90. Now, when I hit 116, them last 10 seconds, or whether they're 10 seconds or 42 days, them last 42 days, I may be up in the hospital. I may be on a ventilator at 116 in the last 42 days. I can live with that. But I've got to do what is necessary. So me and you push the button. And if you got a long way to push that button, all of the medical science tells you, you are carrying death with you. It ain't likely coming from no gun. You are carrying death with you. It's just as simple as that. It is not politically correct, but it is absolutely true. And most of you don't know anybody struck by lightning. No, you don't know anybody struck by lightning. You don't know anybody who's died in a plane crash. No, you don't know anybody died in a plane crash. But you can name one after the other of folk dead from heart disease, dead from cancer, dead from kidney failure, dead from all this stuff. You can name one after the other. And see, when you die, that's just the end of it. You done lived 25 years at low productivity. You have lived all this life with no vibrancy, making excuses, with no energy and no vitality, and with pain and depression and infection. So we live with all this stuff because we do not do what is necessary for us not to have it and for us to live in magnificence. Brethren, my friend, I wish above all things that ye prosper and be in health as your soul prospereth. And in just a minute, we're going to have the Q&A. James, you can check to see if any questions have come in. Answers@airjesus.com. It's 12:31. So our time is actually over. So this has to be our day we go over today. And I want to call those up. But this is not an anointing for instant healing. This is not an anointing for instant healing. And I really don't think that ain't going to work right now. This is anointing for those who want to make changes, who want to acquire the knowledge, and who are willing to do the diligence to change and to walk a different step. That's why he told me to put on some new shoes. And I think that's why he filled me with energy today. Because if you want a different level of health, you got to do something different. And the first thing you got to do, you got to start moving. You got to start moving. I read Dick Van Dyke's book. Dick Van Dyke, he's 90-something years old. And he married, his wife is 46 years younger than he is. And Dick Van Dyke, when he was in his mid-40s, some of you may not know who Dick Van Dyke was. He had a television show. He's a dancer from way back. And when he was 45, he was diagnosed with extreme debilitating arthritic degeneration. And the doctor told him he never was going to dance again, and he wasn't even sure about him continuing to walk. And Dick said, I'm not accepting that. He went to dancing, which is a form of exercise. And he danced, and he danced, and he danced, and he danced, and he danced. And that's why the title of his book is called Keep Moving. And he said because he kept moving, the arthritis never caught up with him. So you got to keep moving. And this is medical science, the first factor of health. And see, the only thing you can deal with is controllable factors. You can't do anything about genetics, but from almost everything I've seen, very little of this stuff really has to do with genetics. Because when you track one group who come from a country and they come to America, everything changes. All the diseases they never had while they were in the old country, they get to America and they got all these new. So it's not genetics, it's only the tendency. It's lifestyle that makes the most difference. I have genetic cardiovascular tendencies through the roof. My daddy had a heart attack at 45. We are prone to high blood pressure, super high cholesterol, all that's in my genes. But I'm not going to have a heart attack because I'm going to do some stuff differently. Because my daddy had one and he taught me what to do not to have one. And I've got to listen. So the anointing for health. And this is the move to magnificent. Because I don't want to even touch you if you just want medicated and messed up. It's not my level. Anybody in medicated and you want to touch the folk? Because it's not me. I'll tell you that right now. I don't want any part of medicated. And a lot of times people cannot even believe if you're up in age and they ask you what prescriptions you want. I don't take anything. You say, you got to take something. I don't take anything. I don't even take aspirin. I don't take anything. So it makes a difference. Doctors sometimes, they don't even understand it because they're so used to folk that got a medicine cabinet just full of all kind of stuff. So I'm not touching you for medicated anointed, and I'm not touching you for messed up anointed. What I am touching you for is a change of mentality for you to put on some new shoes and get to moving. So if you don't want to make any changes, don't come up here. I'm just real straight about this stuff because this is for the anointing for you to get to moving. And you've got to change some environments. Some of you may have to change some associates. The best way for you to get your body in good shape is to hang around folk in good shape. Best way to do it. Best way to do it. They will influence you without question, and they will have a tendency to pull you where you are. If you don't know anybody, you just buy you a gym membership. You just go sit for an hour and just look at the folk. Just go to the bench. You just get and just sit down, cross your legs, and just look at the folk. Now, health is not going to come into you by osmosis just looking at the folk. But what will happen is by the time you look at it and you see the folk on the treadmill running and you see them lifting and you see them jumping, and by the time you sit there and look at them for a few days, sooner or later, your left leg will start twitching. Your left leg will start twitching, and you'll sit there and just look at them. And we have a class here at the church. Doesn't cost you a dime in money, but it costs you in sweat. Ringo teaches a class every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 6 p.m. If you don't want this, come and just sit down and just look. Because see, whatever you look at, you have a tendency to gravitate towards. So you just go there and just look and just sit. Don't do a thing. Just look and just sit. And sooner or later, this thing will start to ease into your spirit. And this thing will make a difference. In the testimony, we had a gentleman who literally died in the class last year. He had a heart attack. Stopped breathing, his heart stopped, he literally died. Is he here today? You here? Come up to the front. He literally died. He's in the class, virtually every class. And not only is he in the class, He's looking good.
Feel good.
Feel good. Now see, if anybody had an excuse not to return to the clan, this man had an excuse, but he recognized. He said, I got a choice. I can be messed up, I can be medicated, or I can be magnificent. And I know if I want to be magnificent, I got to do something different. He had already had one heart attack. It was a blessing that he had a heart attack in the class, because you were headed to that heart attack if you didn't even come to the class. The fact that he had the heart attack in the class, Ringo was there. He was a trained CPR person. He performed CPR on him. So by the time the medics got there, his brain was still oxygenated. He had no traces of any after effects. But he's the only person I have ever seen on a ventilator in a hospital come out of it. Everybody else I've gone to see in your condition never came out of that. You're the only man I have ever seen come out of that. But when you came out, man, you came out fighting. And you came out with the spirit and the attitude, this will not happen to me again. I'm going to be in that class. Even though I have had a heart attack that literally killed me, I'm going to magnificence. See, people, this is the kind of spirit we got to have. This is what we need if we're going to take anything in our lives to a different level. And oftentimes, too many of us, we got the spirit that, well, I'm just going to sit back, watch TV, and just let him, what may Jesus help me. Help me, Jesus. That's the spirit that many of us have. And see, the Bible Belt, unfortunately, and just think about this. The Bible Belt states have the biggest belts of any of the states. You ever thought about that? Why is it that the religious folk, the more religious we get, the Bible Belt has the biggest belts of any states, and that just ought not to be. It means we cannot control our flesh. So this stuff is real. It's not politically correct, but it's just as real as it can be. And we got all these illnesses, all this lack of vibrancy that we suffer with. You ought to be able to jump up to the roof and not have anything hurt, creak, or crack. And you ought to be able to jump up and down 100 times without falling out and being out of breath. But that comes from doing what you need to do and not making excuses about it. People, I made the mistake of not telling my friend. I will not make the mistake of not telling you. Now, you may not like it, and it may offend some of you, but I will not make the mistake again of not telling you. And it will not be, if you continue to live and you want to stay messed up and medicated, it will not be because Pastor Nathaniel did not tell you. And I regret to that day, I should have told my friend, I should have told his wife that food was killing him. I knew it, but I wanted to be gentle and sensitive and politically correct. And my friend died. I'm not going to make that mistake again. You may be mad at me, but I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you because I love you. And I will tell my own children this. Because I don't want to come visit you in the hospital. And if I had the power where I knew I could come and just touch you and you pop up fully healed, I'd let you go and do what you're going to do. But I just have not had a good track record with it.
But he has a track record here, though.
That's right, yeah.
He came, even though he said he wouldn't come. He came, James came, see, Elijah came, and all three of them the weeks before had said, we're not coming to the hospital. I get sick, but we're not coming to the hospital. But I thank God that they did. I thank God that I had a wake-up call. I thank God for Ringo, especially. He was the first one on the scene. Didn't really know me. Didn't really know me from some man walking down the street. But they jumped into action. Tim told me that it was a God-ordained place that I would have had my episode at that point and at that time. Because had I gone home, and my wife wasn't at home at the time, I just would have been at home. Nobody would have found me for some days. But it all happened strategically, according to God's plan and purpose for his son, that I came through. Ringo then was just giving me CPR. Pastor was giving CPR.
No, I wasn't giving you any CPR. That Ringo, I was praying for you.
But the paramedics came in. I could just picture Ringo just going. The paramedics came in so nonchalant. That's when I flatlined with the paramedics. Ringo had me going. But I just thank God through the whole ordeal. I'm on this side now I'm on this side of the cross, mm-hmm. and I thank God for giving me the endurance. Mm-hmm. I just text that question. What do I need to maintain that endurance to keep things going?
Amen.
I mean, it does feel better. It feels better on this side.
That's right. Amen. He said he was a huffing and puffing man, because that's what happens when your arteries get clogged up. Your wind, spirit is the other word for breath. Respiration is respiration. So when your breath gets short, you lose all your vitality. So now he's got endurance. It's just a world of difference. I've had people tell me what a difference a class has made. Moving is one of the first things. It's medically the number one factor of health. It's simply a regular exercise routine. And some of us, our only exercise is bringing the fork up to our mouths. And if you want something different, you've got to do something different. Simple as that. So I thank you, my brother. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor James, how many questions do you have so far? You've got 5 questions. We'll do the best that we can in answering those questions. You have the mic. It's 3 of us here. All of us have a pretty heavy-duty knowledge of health. And all of us have a regular workout program and an extremely strict dietary program. All of us do. So, and not only that, all 4 of the Bronner preachers, all of us have that. So we're men of God. But if the pastors recognize they have to do it, and we're preaching it, what about you? We recognize that we want this vibrant health. We got to do what we need to do, and we got to do what is correct. And that's why when you look at God's 613 laws, so many of them were dietary based. He told folk what to eat, what not to eat, because he knew this was a factor in their health. And we're still at that point right now. So first question.
Is there a natural diet that reverses diabetes?
Absolutely. 42. So the question was, is there a natural diet that reverses diabetes? First of all, I would recommend that you get a book called How Not to Die. It's a very good book, and it's divided up into sections on how not to die from various ailments, how not to die from heart disease. There's a section, there's a chapter called How Not to Die from Diabetes. Now, this book, in a nutshell, advocates what's called a plant-based whole food diet. Not vegan, just plant-based whole food, which is different. Most of the book I agree with, especially in the U.S. Some of the stuff he cites from other countries is not quite accurate, because in other countries they eat meat and they don't have all of the ailments that we have, but the meat that they eat is different. Their meat is natural and they don't eat a whole lot of it. So it is a little bit different, but for the most part, the vast majority of the book that I agree with, I had a situation in the CEO group that I attend, and often at the end of each session they will ask us to make recommendations, and I recommended this book to the group. When I came back 2 sessions later, one of the members, he runs a multi-million-dollar company, he said, Nathaniel, he said, the book that you recommend, I bought that book, I read the book, I start doing what the book said. I am now off of all of my medications. And he said, the doctor took me off of all of it. He said, whatever you do it, keep doing it. You no longer need these medications. So How Not to Die, How Not to Die is the book that I recommend you get. Read the chapter on how not to die from diabetes. And basically what it's going to say is this. It's going to basically say modify your diet. If you modify the diet, there are 2 things that make a big difference. What you eat and how much you eat. And actually, the how much you eat sometimes even has a greater importance, because the one thing that is absolutely statistically, medically proven to extend life is a procedure simply called caloric restriction. And that simply means you don't eat until you're full. Simple as that. Caloric restriction has a just proven method of extending lifespan and reducing disease. But that's going to get all back to the belly test. So the number one diet, the thing that will cause diabetes the most is when you get insulin resistance, and insulin resistance is triggered by belly fat. So that's why I say all this stuff in the belly. That's number one. If you want the truth, strip naked. Get the naked truth. Get in front of the mirror, strip naked. Get the naked truth. And that speaks a whole lot. So, yeah, you get rid of the belly fat, the vast majority of the times you're going to get rid of diabetes. But get the book, How Not to Die. It talks about that, how the diet and cleaning up your diet reverses diabetes in a fairly rapid amount of time.
What is your take on eating lifestyles, vegan, vegetarian, meat eater?
My take on vegan, vegetarian, or meat eater. Number one, Statistically speaking, first of all, I was a vegetarian for years, 6 years. As a matter of fact, I ate no meat of any kind, no fish, no chicken, no nothing. So I was a vegetarian for years. Since I was 17 years old, I've been mostly vegetarian. But I changed as I began to look and study facts. Facts are basically this. Every single medical study that has been done, vegetarians don't live a day longer than meat eaters. That's just the bottom line truth. Vegans don't live a day longer than meat eaters. In the book, The Blue Zone, they studied long-lived peoples all over the world. In every single pocket of the world where people had advanced age, where they lived to be over 100, they studied what they did. And there were five or six characteristics. Number one, all of them ate meat. Everybody you know who's lived a long time, they all ate meat. So vegetarianism, the only group that has a longer lifespan in the United States are Seventh-day Adventists. Now, they are mostly vegetarian, but the key is when you do studies of just vegetarians versus meat eaters, no, vegetarians and vegans do not live longer. But if you look at the Seventh-day Adventists, they live longer, but they have a different spiritual aspect, and they rest one day a week. So the one day a week is within God's guideline, and it reduces stress, which is one of them big killers. So vegetarian, vegan, meat eater, scientifically speaking, it makes no difference, with a caveat. The caveat is simply this. In the Blue Zone, when they studied all of the groups, everybody ate meat, but 80% of their diet was plant-based. I eat meat, but I eat meat no more than 3 days a week. And the meat that I do eat, number one, I eat no meat that God told me not to eat. If it's any meat that's non-kosher that God told me not to eat, I don't eat it. I just believe he's the maker, and the maker and the manufacturer knows best what should go in the body. So that's number one. If God said not to eat it, I don't eat it. But I eat beef, I eat fish, I eat chicken, I'll eat lamb. And so I'll eat all of those meats, but I'm picky about the type of meat that I eat. That's why even in the first-time guest, when we serve chicken, it is free-range, hormone-free, antibiotic-free. If I eat beef, I eat grass-fed beef. Grass-fed beef is a superfood. Grain-fed, which is traditionally corn-fed beef, is a poison. So it's a huge difference. There's nothing wrong with the meat. There's something wrong with the way the meat is reared. The problem is you can't find grass-fed beef in most places. 99% of the beef on the market is grain-fed beef. The only mass place right now that has grass-fed beef is Hardee's. They have a natural burger that's different. And they even have to import that burger out of Venezuela because they said they couldn't find enough beef in the U.S. that was natural. So Hardee's is the only place as of right now that has natural beef. The book How Not to Die, it will tell you the worst of the meats is chicken. And not because the chicken is bad, it's because the way the chicken is reared. When you take a chicken and you grow a chicken to full grown, and you know these chickens are much bigger than the chickens way back then. The chicken leg be that big around. So the reason and the way the chicken is so big, they give the chicken estrogenic hormones, which are female hormones, which makes the chicken fat and soft. So now you're eating chicken or beef or any other meat that's pumped full of estrogenic female hormones designed to make the meat grow fast, be fat, and be soft. What do you think those hormones do to you? And we're wondering why we have such a time controlling our weight, and we're eating meat that has the same residue designed to make the animal grow real big, real fast, and be real fat and real soft. So there's nothing wrong with eating meat. There is statistically no difference in lifespan between meat eaters, vegetarians, and vegans. But those who live longest, they don't eat much meat, and 80% of the food that they eat is a non-meat source.
What is your opinion on strategically eating according to one's blood type?
I don't know. There's a book called Eat According to Your Blood Type, and according to that book, based on what I should be eating, I'd be dead fooling with that. So I don't know. I don't think that there's much accuracy, in my opinion, based on eating according to your blood type. That thing has had a lot of scientific controversy on it. And to be honest about it, I don't have a firm answer on that. What I will say is don't eat according to your blood type. You just cut down on the amount of stuff you eat, and you do that naked test. So if you're standing in front of the naked test, I don't care what kind of blood you got. See, some of the stuff is just real simple, and it's not really what we eat. We just eat too doggone much. So you just cut down on the amount of food that you eat, and you can almost process and tolerate anything. See, I don't have a problem eating sweets. I have a problem eating too many sweets. That's why I told you, don't bring me any cakes, don't bring me any pie, don't bring me any. Because let me tell you, pastor can get his sweets on his own. I got no problem finding and procuring sweets on my own. I got no problem with that. My problem, and we talked about this on the trip, Rock was talking about his weakness is chocolate chips, Chips Ahoy. Rock says, he says the amount of chocolate chips he will eat in a day is exactly equal to how many in the house. Is exactly equal to how many in the house. I got the same problem, so I could relate to that. Absolutely, I have the same problem. I have to keep this stuff out of my reach. I know my weaknesses. So with a lot of this stuff, it's not the fancy stuff that gets us down. It's the simple stuff. We eating too much. And you know, if you take that naked test and you see your stomach, you eating too much. I don't care what it is. See, listen, people, all of the big animals in nature are all vegetarians. You ever thought about that? They're all vegetarians. The lean, muscular animals are carnivores. So it don't matter what you eat. It's how much you eat that makes the big difference. And that's why when you travel, I remember we were in Tokyo, I think. Yeah, we were in Tokyo. And we went in a restaurant, the Brothers of the Word, and the other brothers were there. And they had like a double portion. So we all ordered double portions. And when that double portion came, we were just as hungry as we could be after we ate a double portion. But the Tokyo folk are all small and slender. And when we went somewhere to get on the elevator, it said limit 10 folk. And the elevator officer said, look, that's 10 Japanese. He said, that's 5 Americans. So the problem is we just eat too much. So sometimes we overthink all of this stuff. And it just shows. It just shows. Y'all get to look, it just shows. So this is the stuff we got to do. I don't know about the blood type. I do know about too much of anything. And that's 95% of our problem. We just eat too much. Next question.
Is it okay to take heart miracle while taking a blood pressure medication with a diuretic? I ask because heart miracle contains vinegar, a natural diuretic, and could it be possible that it's more than I need?
Well, heart miracle is a product that our company manufactures. Heart miracle is an interesting story. It's carried in some of the chains, but one of the major chains, he told the national sales representative, he said, I'm not carrying this product because it'll cannibalize the sale of many of my other products. He said, but I take it myself. It's something that Pastor James mostly formulated, and it is absolutely the best heart supplement on the market. I know my mother had an issue a few years ago, and she called me up, said her blood pressure just shot sky high. I said, Mother, take 2 doses of heart miracle right now. Let me come get you. We'll take you to the doctor. I came, got my mother. She took her blood pressure through the roof, took her to the emergency room. When we got there, her pressure had dropped like 30 or 40 points. And she told the nurse, well, it was at this level. I took 2 caps of heart miracle, and then it's at this level. She said, what is that? It has a tremendous effect on the cardiovascular system. A lot of times people just simply take the test with high blood pressure, take your pressure, take a dose of heart miracle and take your pressure 15 minutes later. And a lot of people can just actually see the difference in 15 minutes. So the question was, could you take it in combination with fundamentally other heart medications? We don't really recommend that because, number one, it's not just even the diuretic, but heart miracle contains blood thinners. So when you take heart miracle in conjunction with other blood thinners, it is possible that it could thin the blood out too much. Always check with your doctor. If you're on some serious medication, you need to check with your doctor before you stop that. So we don't generally recommend that you take Heart Miracle with other cardiovascular prescription medications. So Heart Miracle is the product for cardiovascular. For men, Male Drive is the product. Oh, and what I have right here, I forgot about it. This is my daily supplement pack. So this is what I take every single day, Sunday, Monday, all through the days. So today, this is my supplement pack. And you can see right here all of these capsules. Now, I take this every day. And let me show you how I take this. You see these supplements? It's 14 capsules in my hand. What I do, that's it. It takes me 5 seconds. I swallow them all at one time, and that's it. Now, some of you can't do that, but that's the difference in magnificence. And see, it makes a difference. See, it's different levels of everything. I want the best of everything. So I take the absolute best supplement. And there's controversy over supplements. We believe in supplements, especially if you got the right type. What I take, two primary supplements. First one is one called Years Plus. And this is something that is designed to, it's a serious supplement just to expand lifespan and health. So Years Plus is the first one. The second one is a product called Joints Ingenious. And this is designed for, because as you get older, you start getting joint stiffness. So it's best to keep this stuff than trying to fix it. Because sometimes when you try to fix it, it's hard to fix if it busts. And then you got memory issues, and that's where the Genius come in. So Joints Ingenious is the second one. So that's 10 of those capsules that I take. And then one of them is a fish oil capsule and other stuff. So it's just two of them are herbs that I take that God specifically spoke, and they're very, very bitter. I didn't even understand it years ago, and God spoke these words to me. He said, that which is sweet to you shall be bitter to your body, and that which is bitter to you shall be sweet to your body. And I only understood it real clear when I read the book, The Great Cholesterol Myth. And it talked about the number one cause of heart disease is sweets. We were thinking they were fats, but when you start reading the research and all of the science behind it, sweets, and it talked about the mechanisms of how sugar and sweets contribute so heavily to heart disease and how so much of our diet right now is so loaded with sugar. So I take some extremely bitter stuff to counteract the sweet that I still have a difficulty controlling. And that which you have a difficulty controlling, you do best to avoid. So I don't bring any of it in the house. That's why I ask you, don't bring me any sweets. Our pastor has enough ability to get his sweets on my own. I really, really do. Yeah, so that question about the supplements, but that's what I take. So there's another one. If you have weight issues, we have called Multithin. And it's a full spectrum vitamin, but it has an appetite-suppressant herb built in, a complex built in that helps to suppress the appetite. But I don't take that one. I take Years Plus and Joints Ingenious. Got one more question?
How do I increase my endurance?
How do I increase my endurance? The best way to increase endurance is to simply do cardio. That's the best way to increase endurance. If you do cardio, cardio does several things. It's going to increase your O2 capacity, which is basically lung capacity. One of the things that when they're putting on the makeup every Sunday, they use an airbrush. And I don't want the makeup going in my lungs. So I hold my breath the whole time. And it kind of shocks them. Say, Pastor, you can hold your breath. Yeah, see, if you do cardio, it increases the body utilization of oxygen. And all of that is tied in with endurance. So the best way to build endurance is to do enduring things. And you need to do cardio exercises. And there are plenty of cardio exercises. Running, swimming, tennis, handball. There's just a ton of stuff. Basketball. Cardio is considered anything that keeps the heart rate at a sustained level. And normally you can measure your heart rate. The standard rule is your maximum heart rate is 220 minus your age. So if I'm 60 and I take 220 minus my age, that would put my heart rate maximum at 160. And you're supposed to do 80 to 90% of your maximum heart rate, and that will determine where your exercise zone. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's not what I do. I exercise at 25. I actually set my heart rate at a 25-year-old. Don't y'all do that. The doctors will tell you, you set it at 80% of your maximum heart rate, 80 to 90%, and that's the target zone. And that will help you build endurance. And as you build endurance, you will start shedding the weight. And that makes a huge difference. When I'm running a long distance, I can tell the difference if I got an extra 5 or 10 pounds on my body. It makes a huge difference. It's like carrying a 5-pound or 10-pound sack of sugar. It makes a difference. So slimming down and doing cardio exercise. And if you can't do what's called, you know, exhilarating cardio exercise like that, walking is an excellent exercise. One of the sermons that I did on health is called Walking in the Garden. It's in the garden when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. Even God was up early in the morning walking. Briskly walking. That's what my mother does. Briskly walking. She doesn't like to walk outside in the morning, so I got her exercise bicycle. So now she pedals the bicycle like me. Doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're doing something. And as long as you're doing something that elevates the heart rate, the longer you do it, the more endurance you will build.
I have a brother who is overweight, and I've tried everything possible to get them to lose weight. Bought products, gym memberships. I've been a living example of great health, but they just won't follow my lead or instruction. What can I do?
Let me tell you about that. Weight is a challenge. How many of y'all have understand and know that? Trying to get weight off your body is a challenge. And let me tell you what I have done. God instructed me with several people. He said, I want you to offer them a monetary incentive to get to a normal BMI, which is the body mass index. You can go to bodybmi.com, put in your height, put in your weight, and it will tell you what you should be, your range of where you should be. So I told them, look, all you have to do is get to the upper end of normal. You don't have to get to the middle. Just at the fattest you can be and be normal. And he had me offer the people. And I said, look, I said, what? Yeah, this is what I want you to offer. I said, are you serious? This is what I want you to offer. I offered one person $200,000 a year. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I offered. I said, man, this is what God told me to offer. I said, I hope you don't make it, but this is what he told me to offer. I literally offered to pay them every month the equivalent of $200,000 a year. All they had to do was get into the upper range. They had 2 years to do it. They had to get into the upper range of normal BMI, and they had to, every month, first of the month, they had to weigh in. As long as they weighed in, they would get the check, which would be about $16,000 a month. I did that with several people, men and women. You know, none of them made it. Now, that was the high end. The other was basically double their income. The other was $100,000. And I was questioning God real heavy about it. I was like, you know, that's going to call me. But I've learned, not one person got one penny. So I saw that weight is so, until you make this stuff up in your mind and get around, but this is what I also saw. They wouldn't follow directions. I told them what to do. I said, number one, you need to come to the Ringo class because you need public accountability. They want to do it in private. They wanted to hide. And I said, look, I'm going to know. I said, number two, you need to get a certain number of folk and you need to send a weekly report of where your weight is. It makes you publicly accountable. So the things that I told them to do, they wanted to do their own way. I said, you can do it your own way. But they didn't make it. So first of all, I saw that eating is such a gripping thing. And there's a whole science. You know, I wrote the book called Fat Defined, The Spirit of Weight Loss. It's 365 pages. I've done a lot of research on obesity and why it is. It's a monster to deal with because food is the greatest drug in America. Look, we look at cocaine and liquor and all that kind of heroin and all that kind of stuff. You have roughly 5,000 to 15,000 people a year die from drug overdose. But you've got 1,000 people a day who die from overweight. So you literally have every 2 weeks more people who die from food than all of the illegal drugs put together all year. That's how big the epidemic is, but folk don't want to talk about that in church because it's politically incorrect. They'll talk about drugs and alcohol and all that all day long, but they won't talk about food, which kills in 2 weeks more than all of the drugs all year because it is politically incorrect and it offends people. So getting weight off is difficult, but the first thing, you cannot make anybody do it until they really make it up in their heart and soul they want to do this. And to do this, there are several things you need to do. Number one, you need to make it public. Number two, you don't need to go on a diet. You have to change lifestyles. Diets don't work. They never have, they never will. You have to change lifestyle. You got to do this stuff forever, because what will happen with a diet, it's just statistically proven all day long. You lose some weight. The minute you finish the diet, you gain back more than you lost. So it doesn't work. Diets do not work. 42 helps people because it changes your taste buds. And when people finish 42 at do42.com, when they finish 42, their taste buds are different. And if they stay within that range of the taste buds, they often will maintain a certain amount of that weight loss throughout. You have to have lifestyle change. Diets don't work. First, you got to make it up in your mind. You can't make your brother lose weight. They have to make it up in their mind, I want to do this, I want to do this for me. So you have to make it up in your mind, you want to do this, understand why you need to do it, know that you need to do it, make it up in your mind. Then you have to have lifestyle changes. This thing is not for a week, not for a month, this is forever. And you need to target the weight where you want to maintain. Don't say, I want to lose 30 pounds. No, I want to stay at 170 pounds or whatever it is. You have to put a constant weight. All that's in the book, Fat Defines the Spirit of Weight Loss. But these are just some of the keys. But weight is so difficult because when we're dealing with those psychological issues, first thing people do when they're depressed is eat. If you're lonely, food is your companion. So you have to understand the dynamics of some of this stuff. This is why. That's why people, when they're smoking, you notice folk on drugs are never overweight. You ever notice that? Drug addicts never overweight because the drug is dominant. When people quit smoking, they gain weight. They simply substitute one drug for another. So you got to basically get off of all addictions. Sugar is as big as an addiction as anything. Sugar and fat are heavily addicting. So weight loss is just not a simple thing. Sometimes you will have nutritional deficiencies that will cause an imbalance in eating. Multithin may help that, it may not. So if it's a nutritional deficiency, you can have what's called specific cravings, and it causes you to crave some stuff because you have a nutritional deficiency, but that's not most folk issue. And you're going to have to deal with all this stuff in the world every day. You drive out of here, you're going to see advertisements all on television, all on billboards. You're going to pass by all these fast food places with this big old hamburger on the sign, with this big chicken sandwich, these wings. You're going to see all that kind of big thing of French fries like that, big milkshake. The world does not want you in shape. So you've got to basically come out of the world of food to move to a whole different level. And people, it's not easy. It requires new shoes. You cannot walk in the steps of the old if you want magnificent health. So diet and losing weight is something I struggle with. I'm overweight right now. And I'm not overweight on a BMI basis. I'm overweight from my ideal. My ideal weight is 180 pounds. I'm 193 right now. So I'm 13 pounds over. And I had to ask, I said, Lord, well, what about if I'm working out, I'm lifting weights, I'm building muscles? Muscles weigh more than fat. That's going to take me past the 180. He said, keep your waist at 34 inches or under. Basically what he said, as long as your belly don't start sticking out, your chest and arms can get big, you got to watch this belly. You got to keep that belly button in. So it's possible. But understand, it's not easy, and it goes against the ways of the world. The world does not want you in shape. Pharmaceutical companies can't make money from folk who are not sick. So they want you sick, and they want you out of shape. And the food companies want you eating more. So a lot of the foods have what they call excitotoxins engineered into the food to make you want more. They put more salt in it, so you got to get a bigger drink. And you're not drinking water. You're drinking a big old sugary drink. The men's meeting, they had some soda, and I just looked at the soda. There was basically in that soda, I think it was a, what size? Remember when we checked that drink, and I just poured a drink up. The thing had 78 grams of sugar in one drink. And it takes 4 grams per teaspoon. So it literally had in it all this sugar that we drink and ingest, and it causes all kinds of issues. So that's a real challenging. I did a whole 3-night seminar on the Fat Defined seminar. So that weight loss is just a big one. It's a big challenge, but it can be done. But go and type in health on brothersoftheword.com and just listen to some of the sermons. You have to constantly surround yourself with this knowledge, with the mentality and the direction, and it will take you where you need to go. That's it for the questions. Well, I hope I didn't offend anybody, but But like I said, I'd rather risk offense than have something happen like what happened with my friend, and I didn't say what I knew I should say. I want you prospering and in health. I really, really do. I want your soul prospering, every area of your life prospering, and I want your body prospering. So health is number two. The next message, we will deal with eternity. But right now, for those of you, and you want another level of health, and you're willing to make changes, you're willing to make changes, and you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to do something starting today. Ringo was the first one who came up. This is another principle. Now, he's the most muscular fellow in the church. He's the first one who got here. This is another principle. To them who hath, it is added unto. To them who have not, that which even they have shall be taken from them. For those who got health, they get more health. They're the ones out working in the gym. So if you want greater, for those of you who are electronically watching, I just want you to just hold your hand up to your TV, hold your hand up to your phone or your computer screen, whatever it is, you can still make the same declaration. Brethren, I wish above all things that ye prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Can we get some ink pens? Because this is the thing, and this is what I heard God speak. He said, have them write down and give it to you the one thing they're going to do. See, it's one thing to say, I'm going to make some changes. What changes? Can we get some pens? It doesn't matter. And I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to pray over it. That's what God said. He said, have them write down the one thing that they're going to do. Don't write down 10 things. Just the one thing. Just one thing. To be obedient. Just one thing. The one thing you're going to do. Whether it be, I'm going to start exercising. And be specific. Don't say, I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to start exercising 4 days a week for 30 minutes a day. Be specific about it. I'm going to ride my bicycle 15 minutes a day, 5 days, whatever it is. Be specific. So don't put a nebulous thing down. The more specific it is, and this is something you need to do today. There is a statistical fact. The longer you put it off, for every day you put it off, the probability of you doing it drops considerably. Who needs pens? Got a couple of them here. Anybody need an ink pen? And you need something to write on. Just get a pro. It doesn't matter what you write on. The main thing about this is, well, as a matter of fact, let me give you this sheet out of my pad here. You write on this sheet out of this pad. And just tear it up. If you would, just tear these sheets up where they can have just enough. Whatever you're going to do, be specific. Be specific. Don't just say, you know, I'm gonna change my diet. How? Whatever you're going to do. Some of you, the most important food for you to consume actually is water. Your body is made up of 80% water. Your most important food to consume is water. Because if you don't have water, you get dry on the inside, you get constipated, you can't get the food out. So water is your most important food. The vast majority of us don't drink enough water. The medical standard is 64 ounces a day, 8 glasses of water. The health people say you should drink one half of your body weight in ounces for every pound of body weight. So if you weigh 150, you drink 75 ounces a day of water. Whatever it is, whether you need to drink water, whether you need to exercise, whether you need to cut out sweets. Some of you may say, I'm not going to eat sweets on any day that ends in a Y. So whatever it is, be specific about it. And this is the difference. This is the phase of true change. For any successful change, you need a plan. And you need a plan that you're going to stick with. Health is a serious thing. And we need to move from the messed up and the medicated to the magnificent. God wants you healthy. I absolutely believe that. Sickness was always a curse. God wants his people healthy. We'll wait on you to finish writing. And I want you to come up and you just put it in my right hand. You don't have to sign it. You don't have to sign it. You know what you said. For those of you who are watching electronically, write it down. Write it down. Write it. There's a power that comes from writing it down. There's something that connects between the mind and the body and the spirit when you actually write it. Write it down. Write it down. One thing and one specific thing. Don't put two. One thing that you are going to do and that you are going to start today. Not tomorrow, today. One thing, specific, one thing that you're going to start on today. Oh, yes, we're still going to pray, so don't sit down yet. Don't sit down unless you just have to. Do I have all of the written declarations of the one thing that you're going to do? Got one more? Amen. 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 Sometimes I never know what God is going to speak or what he's going to say, but this is what I hear him saying. Everybody who's here, he wants you to do some type of movement that is centered in your current ability. I'm going to do squats while I'm praying. Some of you can't do that. So like I said, it's centered in your current ability. So all you may be able to do is just nod your head up and say, whatever it is. You know, just whatever it is. Ringo's getting ready to do push-ups. So whatever it is. So as you, Pastor James is doing push-ups. So whatever it is. Whatever it is. Just do whatever it is. If you just got to swing side to side. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray right now that as they move, that you shall move. And Father, I pray that you magnify their movement right now. I pray that from head to toe, every single organ of their body, from the largest organ of the body, the skin on the outside, you shall clear and you shall make radiate and you shall make it glow, dear Father. Every organ on the inside, every cell, every mitochondria, every DNA, Father, I pray that you lengthen the telomeres right now, Father, that you extend age, Father, you restore youth and vitality. As they move, you shall move. As they move, you shall move. And as they move, you shall increase their ability to move. As they move, you shall increase their ability to move. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, even though they shall get tired, the race belongs not to the swift, nor to the strong, but to those who endure. Father, we increase supernaturally and naturally. Endurance, Father. Endurance, Father. Health, Father. Father, we move them right now from the category of the messed up, from the category of the medicated, to the category of the magnificent. In thy Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 All right, Ringo. Amen. 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 As you move, so shall God move. Amen. You can go to brothersoftheword.com. listen to the full series absolutely free. If you want to, go to iwanttogive.com. And we thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word, because, brother, you need the Word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was part two of the series titled, The Chef in the End, by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 5728. That's 5728. To listen to over 1,000 free messages, or to send this message number 5728 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you, and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because, brother, you need the Word.